So this police shooting a couple of nights ago that took place, John reported about it on the news yesterday. We're starting to get some more information, but it's interesting how this doesn't become a cultural flashpoint. There's no editorials written about it. There's no social media outrage happening. And I'm just, you know, asking the question here because that's what we do. Why that might be? You know, why they oftentimes seem to pick and choose what they want to go after, what shootings they want to make a huge deal out of. I don't know, John. I'm trying to figure that out.
I saw an angle on one of the local TV stations about whether it was necessary.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
And I just kind of slapped my face.
Okay. I figured somebody might.
Yeah.
Any chance it was 41 Woke Action News?
I don't watch them frequently, so
okay.
That's not where I saw it.
Okay. All right. We'll leave it at that. We'll leave it at that. Okay. Gotcha.
One way or the other, I don't know if it matters, but okay. I have seen one, and I was like, was this necessary? And I thought, well, that sounds like the Olathe East thing.
Yes, that's okay. Exactly right.
So anyway, I'll add that much.
So if you missed this, and John reported on the news yesterday, and I felt yesterday it was kind of a news story. There was nothing more for me to say outside of just the facts. But Kansas City, Kansas Police identified. Here's just kind of to reset the story and what's going on. Man was shot and killed near a home off Ridgeview Drive in Platte City just before midnight on Tuesday. That man was 26-year-old Micaiah Harris. He was identified as a KCK resident. He was the suspect in a weekend triple shooting that left one person dead. Warrant was issued on Tuesday morning for Harris following a shooting, targeting three men, all related, at a KCK bar. But when authorities moved in for an arrest, he took off. And this pursuit, wrong way pursuit on I-35, Shawnee Mission Parkway, and I-435 on Tuesday night. You know, as someone, I don't drive a lot at night anymore with my job and, you know, two kids, three and under. But even last night, like I'm driving home in that rainstorm from the World War I Museum. St. Michael's Veterans Center had a great event last night. But I'm thinking to myself, that could have been any of us. Anybody could have been barreling down the highway, just doing your thing, and a guy comes at you the wrong way who's fleeing the cops. Besides the fact, and that's leaving aside the fact that he's a suspect in a triple shooting that left one person dead over the weekend. All right, so this guy, Micaiah Harris, leads these cops on this chase and this pursuit that goes I-35 Shawnee Mission Parkway, 435 on Tuesday night. He ends up getting to that location, Ridgewood Drive in Platte City, and he ends up getting shot and killed. And here's just some of the police scanner audio from the unfolding of events, including the shooting itself.
And he's still losing both front tires. He's smoking. Speeds are dropping into the 60s now.
Ridgeview Drive, he's in that backyard. He's running out of steam, guys. He's walking now.
He looks like he's trying to talk himself into it. We need long guns. We don't have good cover out here.
Help. 311, they send the shots. Shots fired.
Shots fired. Suspect down.
I need an ambulance down there. Do you have one?
I think he's face down, but I can't tell. But his arms are not moving.
Okay, there's the police scanner audio from late Tuesday night. Now, Harris was armed, did have a weapon in his hand at the time that he, according to that scanner audio, did move from one hand to the next. But you could clearly hear, first off, in the voices of the law enforcement officers involved, and then on top of that, you also could hear it in just the tone of what they were saying and the fact that this thing went on for so long, that these were not cops out looking to hunt people in the Kansas City area, hunt down people around Kansas City. It's not what this was. It's, frankly, 99.99999% of the time, never what it is. So, you know, I haven't seen editorials written about this. I haven't seen any outside of, you know, John's newscast on an unnamed local news channel wondering if this was necessary. By the way, I'd love to ask that news station, you know, if this guy had mowed down multiple people or killed people on the highway, what they'd be saying. Oh, what a tragedy. What outrage. Wonder if they'd be saying that then. But, you know, neither here nor there. This is the kind of stuff that is overwhelmingly more likely to happen to law enforcement every single day. this kind of a story? Is anyone telling this story from their perspective, or does this thing just get swept under the rug? No one talks about it. And then, you know, God forbid you have a scenario, and notice how I said God forbid you have a scenario that may end up making a cop look bad or a law enforcement unit look bad. They're all over that, all over it. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be if the cops screw up, if the cops do something wrong. But by golly, just tell both stories for once, would you? Would that be too difficult? Probably so. So we're kicking off a busy Thursday morning. Mayor of Kansas City, Quentin Lucas, of course, is here in his usual 7:35 slot. Roger Marshall, Kansas U.S. Senator, joins me just after 7 o'clock this morning as well. So don't miss those conversations coming up on KCMO. Ron DeSantis has done an enormous favor. The Florida governor has done an enormous favor to traditional Americans. I don't want to say Republicans or conservatives. I mean, you can, but I think it's bigger than that. I think the tent is bigger than that. So there was the story I was reading last night, and it was according to a recent report from the Wall Street Journal that American CEOs are shaking in their boots after what the state of Florida did to Disney. When Disney decided to get involved in woke left-wing politics and call out leadership in the state of Florida, suddenly Disney said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to pass legislation removing the special self-governing privileges afforded to Walt Disney World. And that has many corporations, including the ones listed in this article, Nike, AMC, Coca-Cola, Gillette, among many others. It has them suddenly saying to themselves, you know, maybe we shouldn't just do what the woke mob tells us to do. Maybe we should just, like, you know, if you're Disney, create content that is suitable and attractive to families. If you're Coke, maybe just try to sell as much Diet Coke as you possibly can to all Americans. Maybe if you're Gillette, just sell me a decent razor and shaving cream. You get the point. They're starting to wake up, and that's because of what Florida and Ron DeSantis did. And the fact that they're saying, gosh dang, maybe we just don't acquiesce to whatever Twitter warriors and keyboard warriors are telling us we need to be doing and acquiescing to. Maybe us as multi-billion dollar global corporations don't listen to trolls on Twitter with the handle Bob75643218673, who's probably a Russian bot anyway. Maybe we just run our business and try to sell as much product as we can to consumers who are Republican, Democrat, white, black, Latino, Asian, gay, straight, trans, doesn't matter. That's really our job. Maybe we get out of the business of woke politics. Despite the fact that it might upset our HR manager, we just do it because that's not our business model. If that holds true, if that holds up, because for too long, the thought has been these corporations are going to do whatever they want, and, you know, Republicans are going to be big pro-business, so they're going to kind of, you know, look the other way, turn the other way, not going to matter about it, not going to worry about it too much. And they're Republicans. They still like us big business, big corporation. Guys, they'll be fine. Well, it looks like the tide is turning. If you're going to actively go out of your way to go after, attack half the country and defend half the country in cultural wars that are split 50-50 in America in 2022, then don't expect one half of the country to sit by and say and take it and say, sure, may have another. It seems like those days are over. And all any of us, for the most part, reasonable folks are asking corporations to do is just make their product and let us decide if we want to consume our product based on what they bring to the table. And then if they want to get involved in politics, right, that's really appealing to 15 to 20% of the population. If they really want to do that, they can. But the days of accepting and believing that there are going to be no consequences from state legislators, especially when you're going after those said state legislatures, those days are over. And Missouri and Kansas should absolutely take note of that as well. Coming up next, Bill O'Reilly was on the show yesterday, and the most valuable, I mean, Bill O'Reilly says lots of valuable things when he's on the show, but one of the more valuable things Bill said was about the fallout of this potential overturning of Roe and what that could mean and what impact it could have on 2022. We've got that next on KCMO. Did I forget to wish you a happy Cinco de Mayo? Sorry, it's raining and 50 degrees. It's hard to get in the mood to drink a lot of margaritas and eat tacos, although I'm always down for a good margarita and taco. It's a little bit more difficult when you know it's going to be thunder and lightning and rain all day. So such is life.
Yeah, I guess weather-wise, it is a Cinco de Mayo. Huh?
Yeah. Gosh, good luck topping that. Mark might want to just shut the mic off for the day in there, pal. John's got you covered. Cinco de Mayo it is. I like it. On the text,
well, weather-wise.
Weather-wise, of course. Yes. Outside of that, it's a very clean operation here at KCMO Talk Radio. I promise you that. Oh, gosh. All right, so Ron DeSantis signaling to corporations around the country that maybe we shouldn't get involved in woke politics may end up being one of the bigger wins from that perspective and that part of life that we've had in recent memory. On the text line, Pete, sweet baby Ron, better hope Disney doesn't leave precious Florida. Yep, Disney's just going to pick up and go and build the new Disney World somewhere, you know?
I love that one.
I know. Right? I love it.
It'll only take, what, a couple months?
Yeah. Build the new Universal Studios. You know, everything's going to be just fine. He's going to go out to California. Maybe they'll shut down Disney World and just keep Disneyland since it's in their, you know, woke capital of Cali, you know? Maybe they'll just do that.
Yeah.
No, that's not happening. So stop with that, all right? That's not happening. That's where the states have more leverage than they think they do. Now, maybe Disney's unique because it has a theme park, but still, I mean, it's saying something. Jim out east, go ahead, Jim. You're on KCMO.
Yeah, Pete, I'm just kind of wondering if this woke corporation stuff is because it's multi-generational, because a lot of the ones that are taking over these corporations are the ones that just are getting out of college. They haven't had the real life experiences because they've been spoon-fed most of their life.
You know, I think, Jim, that's interesting. I think that's true with, like, the HR departments. But Disney's CEO is a guy named Bob Chapek, 61-year-old guy. Like, he's not someone that I would consider, obviously, being part of this, like, recent woke culture generation. Now, maybe he listens to 25-year-olds who are fresh out of Harvard or something like that. But guys like Bob Chapek, 61 years old, who have been around corporate America for decades, they got to know better than getting involved in politics and worrying about what people are saying on Twitter about what they should be doing or what they should be speaking out on. So that's where I just think that these leaders get caught up in the moment trying to protect themselves from woke mobs, and now they're ending up hurting their businesses. Look at Disney's stock as of late. I mean, it has taken a complete crap, Disney stock, over the last month. It's down 20%. Give or take, just over the last month. I mean, over the last 6 months, it's really taken a beating. Down from 175 a share in November to 116 right now. But over the last month, which is really when this has become an issue, it's down 15-20%. So, yeah, it's not good. Not good. So let Bill O'Reilly calm your fears, all right? Let's get to Bill O'Reilly. He was on the show yesterday. And if you missed it, it's up on iTunes, wherever you get your podcast, Spotify, iTunes, wherever. And I asked him the question everyone seems to be asking from the political angle. What is this potential overturning of Roe v. Wade? What impact will that have on the midterms, if any? Here was our back and forth. In the midterms, the Democrats have made it clear they want to make this now the issue of 2022 instead of inflation, the border, foreign policy. Will that work for them? Why or why not?
I don't think so, and I'm getting into this tonight. Look, I was filling up my car with gas last night, $75. So, you know, and I'm filling, and I got the thing. And while it's going up and up, I'm looking, in my mind is an image of Joe Biden. Okay, that's what's in my mind. $75 and Joe Biden's face is in my mind. I'll submit to you, Pete, everybody's doing that.
Yeah.
Everybody. Okay? So that's going to hold the economic pain that every American is experiencing now is going to hold and as the primary motivator for the vote in November. The abortion thing will subside somewhat. The zealots will always hold it. Elizabeth Warren and her crew, they'll run around and they'll make it a centerpiece. But I think that people, if you look at all the polls, abortion is way, way down on the priority list.
Yeah.
I think that people are going to vote their circumstance economically in November, which is really going to hurt the Democratic Party.
That's Bill O'Reilly. He was on the show yesterday. Once again, if you missed the interview, all of our interviews are podcasted. You can find them wherever you get your podcasts. So that's what I've been saying for now the last couple of days. I understand, you know, if you're looking at this, right, from a conservative perspective and you're saying, okay, I understand the Democrats are pro killing the unborn. We get that. That's been a staple, a tenant for certainly at least the last several years. I mean, think back, even the Clintons. When the Clintons ran the Democratic Party, they talked about abortion being safe, legal, and rare. Now, whether or not they believed it or not is another story, but they at least said it, right? Because they understood that when it came to abortion, certainly most reasonable, if not all reasonable people, did not think like third trimester abortion after 20 weeks, like that is not popular around America. So even the Clintons said that. These people are not saying that. But the fact that they're so latched on to the topic and the issue certainly feels like deflection, certainly feels like trying to drum up energy for them ahead of November. And I don't see any way that, as Bill said, people who are going to the gas pump, going to the grocery store and getting hosed, no pun intended, are going to say, you know, cut them some slack because, well, they're pro-infanticide. I just don't see it. News in 2 minutes. We're coming back with more here on KCMO Talk Radio. A lot of people asking about the big rally, Mother's Day Reproductive Rights Rally, taking place Mill Creek Park on Sunday. I think Sheila in Harrisonville has a question about that. Sheila, good morning. What do you got?
Good morning. Okay, so I was really excited listening to that rally in the park for the reproductive rights. If you still have that flyer, could you just take a quick look and see what time does the rally start for the My Body, My Choice people that don't want to be injected with an experimental gene therapy shot?
There you go, Sheila. Well done. Nice job. I'm not sure. We'll have to look a little closer at the fine print and see if we can find it for you. All right?
It's got to be the same group of people supporting both, right?
Yeah, you would think so, Sheila. You would think so. All right. Nice job.
Thanks.
Well done.
Have a good morning.
You too. Thanks for listening. Oh, that's funny. Now, on top of that, yes, Mark.
Remember when they're out there, they love those chants. So, hey, hey, ho, ho, Roe v. Wade has got to go. Hey, hey, ho, ho, Roe v. Wade has got to go. And then they'll start chanting with you. They won't even know what they're saying.
That's true. Gosh, Mark's got all the little phrases down for rallies. Hey, if you should charge. You could make a side business out of that, Mark. What do you think?
Could be a consultant.
Yeah, you could consult. I mean, you could do it across the political spectrum. You're an equal opportunity guy.
Either way, yeah.
You'll help the left or the right on their slogans, on their chants.
Yeah.
As long as it puts money in your pocket.
Exactly.
Jeez, we're going to lose him, John. We're going to lose him to this consultant business he's about to launch. That's what's going to happen. And as someone rightfully noted on the text line, Pete, stop calling it Mother's Day. It's Birthing Person's Day. Also well said.
Mm-hmm.
Very, thank you for making that correction.
Happy Mother's Day, bro.
Yeah. gosh, what a time to be alive. Just when I got good at using the pregnant man emoji. Here we are. Oh, gosh. All right. So in Gardner, let's go down to Gardner. Family is angry down there. They're calling this a borderline hate crime. This story was presented to Fox 4. someone sent an unwanted pizza delivery to the home this week. But the pizza and salad are not the only items that were delivered. The Domino's pizza receipt they shared included a bullying message meant for their teenage daughter. Marty Postlewaite, the young girl's grandmother, said it was Monday night when that delivery driver came to the door. The driver's receipt included the following message. When they answer, say, for fill in the blank teenager name, she gets the salad because she fat. The order was likely placed using the Domino's website, where the order form also provides a space for delivery instructions. And the bullying message appears to have been entered there. So it's not like Domino's put this on the receipt. Someone ordered it online. The machine prints it out. It's kind of like when you send somebody a gift and they say on Amazon, do you want to add a message? And you say, happy birthday. Love Pete. Happy birthday. Love Mark. Happy birthday. You know, from John. Whatever. Right? You do that. The machine prints
it out.
Sorry
about Villanova. Yeah. Love John.
I mean, that's all it was. But naturally, I guess my question is this. Bullying is wrong. We know that. It happens too often. It's happened since the beginning of time with kids. It's going to continue to happen. It doesn't make it right. But who spends money to buy a Domino's pizza and a salad to bully a teenager? Like, who wastes their money doing that? That was my first thought. Like, I don't know. You want to say it's creative in some ways, but gosh, it takes a certain type of idiot douchebag to go down that road.
Teenagers are weird, man.
I guess you're right. You forget being a teenager, how stupid and weird they get. But you're right. You're right about that. So a manager on duty at the Gardner's Domino's told Fox 4 the franchise owner's out of town. The girl's father said he complained to the restaurant managers. They've worked this all the way up to Domino's at the corporate level. And they expressed their deepest apologies to the family impacted by this hurtful language. But I don't think the family really has a beef to pick with Domino's. Like, the system is what the system is. You put a message in there, the message prints out. Are they now going to have to hire an employee to make sure the message is appropriate? Right? I mean, you can't be doing that. You can't do that if you're Domino's. You have a system. You put the message in. I mean, if I want to send one of my buddies a gift on Amazon and I want to put a message in there that says, screw you, buddy, see you next summer, is Amazon going to have some guy that says, that's not a very nice thing to say to your friend? We're going to take that off your messaging system. Like, no, 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 no. The beef is not with Domino's. The beef has to be with whoever it is that's bullying you by buying a Domino's pizza. That's who your beef has to be with.
Yeah, I agree. I looked at that story myself, the headline, and I thought, wait a minute, Domino's what? Wait.
Yeah.
So it makes you read it. It's kind of a clickbait headline.
Yes.
It almost infers Domino's is the perpetrator.
And it's obviously not the case.
If they ordered it with a credit card, they should have a name.
Exactly. Exactly. They should have a name. Because also, what if you print that out and you're just like messing with your friend? Like, who's not even fat, right? Like, eat the salad. You're 90
sure.
pounds.
Yeah.
Like, it's not Domino's job to go through all these messages that get printed out in the receipts and try to play, police officer over it. So, just a bizarre story. I thought I'd share it with you to mix it up a little bit this morning. I mean, I can only talk so much Roe v. Wade. But we'll get into more of this, more of that. Not the pizza story, Roe v. Wade, with Roger Marshall, Kansas U.S. Senator. He'll join us on that and also the disinformation movement from the White House coming up next. It was just starting to show up as one of my favorite emojis. The pregnant man emoji. It changed a little bit, too, it looks like. Huh. I tweeted out the pregnant man emoji last. Is this some breaking news here? Did the pregnant man emoji change on me? No, it's still there. It looks different on Twitter on my desktop than it does on my phone. Is that weird?
No, desktop emojis look different.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate that. It almost looks like it's a pregnant woman emoji. I was like, wait, did they like switch the pregnant man to a pregnant woman emoji overnight and no one told me about it? But anyway, you know, the pregnant man emoji has been one of my favorite emojis here as of late. If I go into my, you click the emoji button on your phone and it picks up your most recent emojis. So mine are, I've got football in there, I've got thumbs up in there, I've got the American flag in there, I've got baseball, I've got facepalm, smile. You know, I like to send the smile emoji once in a while. And I got the pregnant man emoji in there. Yeah, I mean, it's really just becoming a favorite of mine. So just as I'm getting the hang of using the pregnant man emoji in my content, whether it's social media, texts with friends, family, whatever it might be, suddenly I'm now being told that, like, in regards to this Roe v. Wade potential overturning, that now this is back to just women's rights. Well, hold on. I thought men could get pregnant up until, like, Tuesday night. That was a thing literally until Tuesday night. Gavin Newsom, governor of California, tweeted out yesterday about this issue, Roe v. Wade. If men could get pregnant, this would not even be a conversation. Whoa, 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 whoa there, big fella. Hold on. Hold on there, my man. All right? I've been trying to get convinced by you guys for weeks, if not months, that men could get pregnant. Apple even made an emoji for you. And now you're telling me in this tweet that if men could get pregnant, as if men can't get pregnant. What are you, some kind of bigot? Some kind of transphobe, Gavin Newsom? What's that all about, my man? Jeez.
Show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
So here was Newsom yesterday going bonkers on this in this video where he said, if men could get pregnant, this would not even be a conversation. Here he is, the transphobe himself, Gavin Newsom.
Consistently opposing all of those supports. Hell, they don't even believe in climate science. Talk to me about being pro-life. Spare me. Your body, your choice. It's a hell of a moment to live in. But like you say, we will not be defeated. We will stand tall, we will stand firm, and we will affirm the constitutionally protected rights of women and girls, their reproductive rights and freedoms in California. And we will assert ourselves, as I said, as Californians by punching above our weight, working with other like-minded leaders and governors and legislatures all across this country. And we're not going to roll over. We will not back down.
There's the bigot himself, Gavin Newsom, governor of California, who suddenly says that this is a women's rights issue and says men can't get pregnant. So I can't keep up anymore. I can't. You guys keep changing the rules on me. You keep changing the gender thing on me. You keep changing who can get pregnant, who can't get pregnant. Just do me this, all right? At this point, don't take away the pregnant man emoji. I beg you, don't take away the pregnant man emoji. It's really becoming a staple in my text messaging, social media conversation. I don't want to lose it. Please don't do it to me, all right? Coming up, the world's going nuts. Someone wants a sex strike. Yeah. Celebrity wants a sex strike in the wake of this Roe v. Wade news. We'll tell you who coming up next. Happy Thursday, Cinco de Mayo. What a stinker of a Cinco de Mayo it is. Going to be 60 degrees and raining all day. Not exactly what we had in mind. We talk about, you know, St. Patrick's Day sometimes being a bust in terms of the weather. I never think of Cinco de Mayo as possibly being a bust for the weather, but that just means extra margaritas. That's what it means. So good to be with you. Happy Thursday morning. Yeah, sex strikes in the wake of this potential overturning of Roe v. Wade. That's what one celebrity is looking for. Eric is in Lee's Summit. Wanted to follow up on Gavin Newsom suddenly saying men can't get pregnant in the wake of all this. I'm trying to make sense of it. Eric, go ahead.
I just had a quick comment and then a question.
Yeah.
The comment is, if you listen to what Newsom said, he said, he mentioned reproductive rights. Nobody's saying that they don't have the right to reproduce. They just don't have the right to kill. And then my question is, how come if I, heaven forbid, get into an auto accident with a woman who's pregnant and she dies and the baby dies, I might be charged with two counts of involuntary manslaughter, but if that same woman takes herself to the abortion clinic and gets an abortion, she's celebrated as a hero. And I'll listen off the air.
Well, I mean, you know, it's just one of the many hypocritical angles that, you know, you can note there, Eric, that's for sure. But ultimately, you know, it's a little too simplistic because the biggest angle, I know the emotional angle of this is one that drums up a lot of enthusiasm. But this is what's happened this week. Just to reiterate it, because I really think it can't be said enough, the news of this week is a legal issue, not a moral issue. We know, you know, the moral issue is going to be debated forever, and you know where I'm at on that, but this is really a legal issue. Was Roe v. Wade bad law? Was that ever something that judges, a Supreme Court, could decide upon? And that's, frankly, when you read the draft from Samuel Alito, from Justice Alito this week, that's really the argument that he's making. It's not an anti-abortion argument. It's a legal argument of this issue going back to the states and being decided on a state-by-state basis. That's what it is. That's the argument that he's making. So I do think we get caught up sometimes, and I know emotions and feelings and opinions are very strong on both ends on this, but the case that's really being made here is a legal one. And then you will have red states do its thing, you'll have blue states do its thing, but the idea that abortion's ever going to be illegal, I don't even think the most pro-life people believe that to be the case. They just know that Roe v. Wade should never have been law of the land. Now, speaking of all this, let's get into, speaking of emotional responses, this is just too much. Joy Behar on The View, baby. You want great insight from real geniuses. I go to The View. I don't know about you. I can't speak for you, but I go to The View. If you don't, I mean, you clearly have a problem.
I catch the highlights on YouTube.
You. Yeah. You like them on YouTube, John. Yeah. Joy Behar, talking about this issue, says women need to go on a sex strike, or she suggested a sex strike. Let's play the audio just in case you don't want to believe me.
Women in the world have conducted sex strikes in history. In 2003, a sex strike helped to end Liberia's brutal civil war. Yes, and the woman who started it was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. Yes. In 2009, Kenyan women enforced a sex ban until political infighting ceased. Within 1 week, there was a stable government. Okay, so we have more power than we think we have. And some of it could be right in the bedroom. Just saying.
A sex strike.
Something tells me that Joy Behar's husband is like, please go on sex strike. Please go on a sex strike. Please
buying
go.
Buying her the extra copy of Sophocles and Lysistrata where the idea originated many, many centuries ago.
Oh, gosh. And then I know, not me, but I know some of you out there are like, geez, I thought there was already a sex strike going on. That's what I was told in my household. I know there's some of you out there. I know. Some of you are bemoaning that right now. You're like, geez, I thought we were already in the midst of one. But that's the angle that someone like Joy Behar is taking. That sex strike, I mean, is the way to go. Or that somehow that changes the political equation here in all this. Just doesn't make any sense.
What's Dr. Jill to do?
Oh,
right?
Boom, boom, boom.
I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there as a possibility. Okay? Jeez. And it's just, you know, as I think about this conversation, and I'm trying to, you know, have this conversation and keep my job at the same time when talking about Joy Behar's sex strike, all right? Because she brought it up, not me. Hey, I just talk about the news. I just react to it. That's all I do here. I'm not making the news up. I play the clip. That way you know it actually happened. And you know I'm not messing with you here, John.
So, and their sources were what? Kenya and Liberia?
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Similar
yes.
nations.
Yes. Yes. Very much so.
And population.
Absolutely.
Size.
Absolutely right. So that's the grand idea of the geniuses on The View. Possibly have a sex strike. There you go. 5767710. Text line is 816-576-7710. Pete, I'm all for the sex strike. That would prevent innocent babies from potentially being killed. Okay, that's on the text line. Pete, your wife probably thinks the same about you. Oh, man, got him.
How dare you?
Saying I'm sure that texter was waiting for that one. on the text line, Pete, Joy Behar going on a sex strike. We accept your terms. Oh, gosh. Oh, okay. All right. Let me get into some other things happening here this morning around the metro. Let's get to this. By the way, bottom of the hour, Angie Rincono, KCTV5. She's going to be joining me. They've got a follow-up story tonight on the housing crunch around Kansas City. It is obviously an issue. We talked to her earlier in the week about this. She's got some more information that we are going to share with you coming up bottom of this hour. So don't miss that. 8:35 here on KCMO. We've got Chicago tickets in 1 hour as well. So hang tight for that. So, open enrollment likely coming to Kansas. All right. Now, some districts are concerned about this. This is part of a bill, open enrollment, that was sent to Governor Kelly's desk, and she is expected to sign this in the law. If it happens, open enrollment would start in Kansas in 2024. Now, some local school districts are not happy about this. What it would do is open up boundaries and allow kids to move back and forth between school districts and get the best education as they see fit. Now, there are going to be limits on this. I mean, school districts are going to have to determine how many kids they can ultimately accept. And then if they get more applicants for their school district than kids they can accept, they will pick them at random. That's how it's going to work. So first off, I think anytime you get more school choice, that's a good thing. That's a win. That's what we all think want more of. This notion, this antiquated idea that your home is worth 10% more based on what school district it is in, is so, a generation or two ago. And based on all the issues and all the changes that we've seen in public education, especially in recent years, this seems incredibly reasonable. I don't think it's like some just Republican thing. I think anybody who's in favor of making sure kids and their families get to make a choice that is in their best interests when it comes to their education, I think anything that accomplishes that is a win, because right now there's school choice, but the only people that there is school choice for are those who can afford it, right? Those who can afford it can send their kids to private schools. They can shop around. They can go wherever they want to go. But for those who are not wealthy enough to afford private school, there is no school choice for the most part, unless you get into, some special program, things of that nature. That's the only option you have when it comes to school choice. So the state of Kansas doing this, putting this on Governor Kelly's desk, and hopefully she will sign it, is a great thing for students in Kansas. But naturally, there are Democrats here in Johnson County who are not fans of it. They're not. And there are school districts, by the way, who are not fans of it. Shawnee Mission provided a similar response to why they oppose the bill. Shawnee Mission School District does not support the open enrollment provision because the policy does not appear to serve a public policy goal that is not already available, they claim. No Kansas school district or non-political organization asked for this policy. Well, okay, once again, that's where Shawnee Mission and so many school districts are missing the point. It's not about you. You only exist to serve the taxpayer and their children. That's it. Like, if you haven't learned that over the last 2 years, that the only reason the public school system is in existence is to serve communities, not for us to serve you, not for us to appease you. You are there as a public servant to serve the people. Doesn't mean you shouldn't get respected unless, you don't deserve the respect. You should be respected in public discourse, but it's once again clearly showing that they don't get it. They don't understand what the last 2 years have been about. Because for too long, school districts thought, and administrators and unions thought, it was all about them. And we were there to serve them and give them blank checks and do nothing about it and just say, yes, whatever you want, we'll give you more. Those days are over, and they should be over, and they should have been over a long time ago. And when I see a statement from Shawnee Mission saying, school districts didn't ask for this policy change. Well, guess what? A lot of parents have. And taxpayers have, and they run the show, and you work for them. And that's how this is supposed to work. 5767710. I want to welcome you in as Kansas parents may be taking advantage of this, assuming Governor Kelly does sign it into law, and more of what other school districts are saying here locally. 5767710. Pete Mundo rolling through a Thursday morning on KCMO Talk Radio. I thought the housing market was crazy 3.5 years ago when we were worrying about it. Now it's completely out of control. You've got these institutional buyers all over Kansas City making their way into Kansas City. They've maxed out in places like Austin, Dallas, Atlanta, Phoenix, Charlotte, Jacksonville, Miami. And they're coming here next. So you think it's bad now? Just wait. I got to wake up to what's going on. Carl, Independence. Go ahead, Carl. You're on KCMO.
Well, it's if you take a long view of this thing, the institutional landlords cannot maintain a property like an individual house homeowner. So they're going to look at a property as depreciation, and they're going to reach a point where it's no longer economically viable, and they're going to dump it. And what that means is in a few decades, our city is going to be filled from one to the other with dilapidated, rundown properties. And it's even bigger than that.
See, Carl, though, I disagree. What makes you think a hedge fund can't maintain a property if they so choose to and want to?
It costs money.
Well, I mean, are you telling me they don't have money?
Oh, I'm saying that they do have money.
Yeah.
But all these, well, the individual houses are not really built for renters. And after a while, renters tear things up. They don't maintain them.
Yes.
And over time, they'll reach a point where it'll be no longer economically viable.
Not if the value of the homes keep going up. They'll sink money into it if they think the value of single-family homes is going to continue to go up. And considering we're short on the supply of single-family homes for the foreseeable future, there's no reason to believe that that won't be the case.
Yes. But I have seen the cycle with the single family housing being rented.
Yeah.
And over time, it takes decades. But after a length of time, they simply wear out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's even bigger because you reach a point that there'll be no housing. They'll be passed from generation to generation. And then we'll reach a point where if you take the green look at things, then we'll have to basically build new housing for all the people around to replace all this that wears out, that's torn apart.
Carl, you and I are definitely on the same page and side on this. I just think on the issue of hedge funds bailing on their investments because of dilapidation, I don't see that being likely. Now, is there a bigger picture thing here where there are people in political power who want to see us all living like Europe? Like in little condos that are 400 square foot and, you know, living off solar panels? Yeah, absolutely. They don't like the American dream. That's for darn sure. And I think that's in many ways, it's not the issue right now. It's kind of a side issue, but it's also something to watch. Like we talked about this last week and we had a guy call in. He's like, yeah, my daughter is in wrapping up college and she just doesn't see any way that she'll ever be able to be in the single-family housing market from an ownership perspective. She sees no way. 5767710, Randy Blue Springs is on KCMO. Good morning, Randy. What's on your mind?
Oh, well, what's on my head is a tinfoil hat. I believe what's happening is I believe that these hedge funds are bundling because they know groups like BlackRock that are doing the investment. And I know a little bit about this. I actually work for a property management. And people are nipping at their heels to try and buy huge quantities of properties. But if Blackstone and some of the, it's like everything else, you go in and you buy a little, you buy groups of them, and then they sell them to a bigger investor. I think what's going to happen is they're basically bundling the mom and pops in order to sell them to the Walmarts or whatever. And according to Klaus Schwab, they literally say Agenda 2030, we will own nothing and be happy about it. And so I believe there is a big agenda above that. That's not even a conspiracy anymore. They're coming out and saying, in fact, the United Nations and the World Economic Forum just signed an agreement to accelerate the 2030 program that, quite honestly, Trump put a big old giant monkey wrench in a lot of their works.
Yeah.
And so now they're trying to speed it up and get it done. But no, property ownership is something that they don't want, because the right to contract and the right to private property are the two things that this republic stand on.
Yep. Hey, Randy, you know, that tinfoil hat's not too pointy. It's not too pointy, my man. You're in fine standing. So,
well, just look out for the lightning.
Yeah. Have a great day, man. The craziest thing that Angie Ricconi said, and it was just her reporting, is that these hedge funds are like, no, this is what young people want. They want to pick up and move, and they want to go from Chicago to Kansas City to Dallas whenever they want, however they want. They don't want to buy homes. So you're creating a problem and then telling us this is really what people want. Yeah, we're going to cause this issue, and they're going to tell you how great it is for you and how this is really what you want deep down. You don't even know it yet. It's a bunch of nonsense. News in 2 minutes. We have Chicago tickets as well coming up next. Don't miss it on KCMO Talk Radio. Let's go, Brandon! Happy Thursday. It's 9:04. It's great to be with you. And we've got Chicago tickets coming up in 10 minutes. Hang tight for that. I got to give a shout out. Last night I was down at the World War I Museum and Memorial because our friends at St. Michael's Veterans Center had their event down there, their Celebration of Heroes event down there, and it was absolutely outstanding. From the people involved, Susan Engel, Art Fillmore, and everybody else who is out there supporting that organization, getting to meet some listeners, supporting that cause, and what they do at St. Michael's Veterans Center, which is permanent housing for homeless vets right here in Kansas City. There are a few better causes. We've been partnered with them for quite some time here on the show and with KCMO. And it was the first time we've done it in 2.5 years. You know, the last time they had their event, their Celebration of Heroes in person, was November of 19. And then, you know, COVID hits, 2020 gets canceled. Last year, you know, in some precincts, I guess, was still a little bit dicey. So they move it to May of this year in 2.5 years. I said to some folks last night, I said, I don't know if it feels like we were just here or if this was a lifetime ago. Kind of depends what mood you're in. But outstanding organization, thrilled to be partnered with them. And they put on a great show last night at the World War I Museum and Memorial. So good stuff there by them. All right, I got to give people a hard time if you're going to go to this. There's an adult prom that's being planned in Overland Park. I kid you not. Here are the details. Camelot Ballroom in Overland Park. I don't know if you guys have ever been there or had any reason to go there, but this location in Overland Park, Camelot Ballroom, they're allowing adults to relive their high school prom or attend the prom they never had on May 21st. Dancers come to the Camelot Ballroom from all over the country. This from 41 Woke Action News. They come from all over the country to learn different dance styles from hip-hop to ballroom. The owner says the ballroom has served as a venue over the years for large dance parties, which are always a hit. The people love it. They love to dress up, he says. In a few weeks, the dance floor is again going to be filled with prom for adults of all ages. Who the heck wants to relive the awkwardness of a high school prom, John? Go out, take your spouse to go out to dinner with your spouse. Have a great time. Do something special. Why would you want to relive high school prom?
There's a sign-up sheet at the end of the 200 hall. I'm on refreshments.
So oh, yeah.
There's opportunities to go to all kinds of charity?
Yes,
dances, and
charities, galas.
Want to dress up and do the talk?
What is this? Can you think of anything you'd rather do less than relive your high school prom when you're awkwardly 16, 17 years old, trying to cover up your acne and do I kiss her? Do I not? Do I kiss him? Do I not? What do I do? Oh my gosh! Let's relive being awkward in 16.
Don't have to have a prom to get lucky necessarily.
Either, right? That's true, too.
Hopefully your wife didn't hear Joyce Behar.
Yeah.
His whole prom thing could be over before it starts.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Listen, if people want to, there's a $10 cover charge, by the way. $10 cover charge to go to this adult prom that's going to be happening at the Camelot Ballroom on May 21st in Overland Park. Imagine they're like, honey, I got a big night planned, special night planned. Oh, gosh, I'm going to keep it a secret. Just, just you and me.
Got a limo taking us to Dave and Buster's.
That's right. That's right. And, this is so exciting. Where are we going? Going to a concert, a special gala? Nope, I'm taking it to an adult prom with a bunch of losers who are paying $10 cover charge to go in. People pay more than $10 to see a cover band for a cover charge. Got to go to that?
I'm a little nervous that it says adult prom, too. What's going to be going on
there? I don't know. Keys in the basket over here. And then.
I don't know what kind of freaky, weird stuff is going to be happening at Overland Park on the night of May 21st. You know, might want to have some extra law enforcement available. It might get a little kinky, a little weird over there at the Camelot Ballroom, which I've never been to and can't say I'm going to be going to anytime soon. On the text line, Pete, I got dumped at my prom. Hard pass. Yeah, you know.
I didn't go to prom.
Oh,
I remember
working
that night.
Oh, you worked prom night?
Yeah.
Really, John?
Yeah.
How about you, Mark? You go to prom? What'd you have? Junior, senior year prom? You go?
Yeah, I went to a junior prom at a different high school and then senior prom at the home high school.
All right. Here's a great question on the text line. Can pregnant men attend prom? You know what? Why not? It should be welcoming to everyone and anyone. I'll tell you that right now. Yeah, RSVP, though, and then put a little pregnant man emoji next to your name when you RSVP.
King and queen competition's wide open, I presume.
Yeah. Right. Wide open. Pete, this is kind of mean. No? Is it necessary to belittle folks who want to change their memories? What is that? Well, come on. What does that mean? This isn't about being mean. What do you mean change their memories? If you have a bad prom experience, you want to relive it? You want to try to change your memory? Just move on with life. You know, prom's an overrated, awkward teen thing to do. Why do you want to bring that back? Go live your life. Enjoy yourself. Come on. I'm not mocking anybody.
And if you had a bad memory and you go back to it, then you'll just be reliving it and hoping it doesn't go bad again.
Exactly.
It'll be anxiety all night.
Exactly. Why would you go to a movie, go to dinner, go to a gala, go do something, go to a charitable event, John?
So Dean Stockwell and Scott Bakula aren't going to show up for Quantum Leap here, I guess. They're not going to go back and fix it.
And hopefully.
Hey, you want to go dance? That's great. You know, that's what I say.
You can go dance. There's a lot of places to dance, but sure. I'm going to a made-up prom for a $10 cover charge. And hopefully, you know, Joy Behar's message of a sex strike doesn't take off before then.
Women in the world have conducted sex strikes in history. In 2003, a sex strike helped to end Liberia's brutal civil war.
Yes,
and the woman who started it was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yes.
In 2009, Kenyan women enforced a sex ban until political infighting ceased. Within 1 week, there was a stable government. Okay, so we have more power than we think we have, and some of it could be right in the bedroom. Just saying.
A sex strike.
Oh. Joy Behar's husband is like, please, 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 please do the sex strike, please. Oh, gosh. 5767710. Stu in Rosedale. Go ahead, Stu. You are on KCMO Talk Radio.
Hey, Mungo. Well, the talk of the prom really took me back to my own high school days, and this is totally serious. My high school prom, which would have been in 1966, was canceled for lack of interest.
Oh, really? Is that because you were taken, so none of the girls wanted to go because Stu in Rosedale was already taken?
If only. No, it's just that I guess we were already that jaded.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm afraid that it may have set the tone for the rest of my life.
Gosh. All right. Guys, text line. Don't be all wrapped up about this. All right. Don't. Pete, it sounds like you're making fun of some people never got to go to prom and would like to dress up and do something. I'm just saying there are better ways to spend your time and money. In my opinion, that's it. That's all. All right. And by the way, people are saying I'm being mean to the business owner. I just gave this guy 8 minutes of free publicity. I mean, think about that. I just gave him an 8-minute commercial. That would cost him a ton of money. He's going to be fine. Those are the little things you don't think about. You know, we think about in the back of our heads as radio guys. This guy just got an 8-minute commercial on the show. Seriously. Camelot Ballroom. There you go. I don't know the website. Go check it out. Chicago tickets right now. Seventh right. caller. 5767710. 5767710. We've got Chicago tickets we're giving away. And by the way, right now, you can get your chance to buy tickets if you don't win through us through the summer concert season now through May 10th. $25 tickets all week long at livenation.com/concertweek. Official rules and information at kcmotalkradio.com. Coming up, Joe Biden and the fear-mongering that he is doing around this issue of possibly overturning Roe. I mean, he is taking this thing so far to the extreme. I've got the audio. I'll get to it coming up next. A lot of upset folks on the text line over this prom conversation.
Are they going?
I don't know. Jenny, love you, Jenny. She writes, you guys must have had a bad prom experience. Sounds fun just to go for the dancing. You got to think outside the box. Man, it sounds like a lot of fun people, though. If a lot of fun people are going, I mean, we might have a different story on our hands here.
You can go dancing every week, every night, though. That's my thing.
I right? know. So, I know. So. Man, oh, man, oh, man. What else do we have here on the text line? Take it easy on the prom, guys. I know plenty of people that didn't get an opportunity to go. Yeah, but why would you want to go now? That's my point. All right, that's all. All right. What do you got for me, John? Who's the winner?
Hey, Brian had us on, Aaron had us on Avondale. Brian won earlier this morning. So, Aaron. Number 7 this time, going to see Chicago and Brian Wilson. He asked me who was open, and Brian Wilson, founder of the Beach Boys.
Oh, good.
We'll
good,
be
good.
At that show with Chicago. Starlight Theater, June 20th.
All right. How about that? Okay, very good. Very good. Very good. Congratulations to Aaron on winning. All righty. So the hysteria, absolute hysteria around abortion over the last few days continues to get amped up by not cable news hosts, not Twitter, but the president of the United States. The guy who was supposed to come in and be the guy who was going to calm the temperature down and cool the temperature down in the room. Yeah, that guy. Yeah, this guy.
Come on, man.
Yeah, him. He was going to be that guy. So with this news that Roe may be overturned, you'd think the president would take a reasonable approach. Even if he disagrees with it, he would at least just, you know, give the old standard talking point. I'm pro-choice and women's health. And, you know, he'd give that cliche. That's not what he did. The president yesterday took things to the next level. Yeah, the guy who was all about bringing norms back to the White House, he didn't even give the old talking point. Take a listen to what he had to say.
What happens if you have a state changes the law saying that children who are LGBTQ can't be in classrooms with other children?
What?
Is that legit under the way that the decision is written? What are the next things that are going to be attacked? Because this MAGA crowd is really the most extreme political organization that's existed in American history, in recent American history.
What? Dude, where do you even get this stuff? Where does Joe Biden, like, what is he talking about? What if now, next up, LGBTQ kids can't be in the classrooms? That would be a massive civil rights violation. And by the way, last I checked, while there's a big, and there has been for decades, a huge pro-life movement in this country to protect the unborn, I don't know, I'm not seeing a huge movement to prevent LGBTQ kids from being in classrooms. Competing in athletics, based on the science, is a different story. But if you are just a LGBTQ kid in the classroom, I don't hear a lot of people talking about trying to ban that. And by the way, it would be struck down and it would be illegal and it would go absolutely nowhere. So I don't even know where this guy makes up this stuff.
Wouldn't you, like, if you were in court, wouldn't you, as the opposing lawyer, say, objection, speculation, Your Honor? Yeah, he would say, right? What's the word? Not overruled, whatever.
Gosh, you're right about that. Yeah, that's exactly what the feedback would be, as it should be. So, but here's what happens time and time again on the issue. They don't want to, and Joe Biden and, you know, the White House, does not want to actually talk about the merits of the legal end of this, which is really what this is. It's a legal question on whether or not Roe v. Wade was the proper legal decision 50 years ago, or if, you know, this gets back to federalism, the states' rights, and the ability of states to make decisions like this. They don't want to do that. They don't want to have that conversation. They just want to say, well, you know, here's what's going to happen next. They don't want LGBTQ plus kids. And by the way, I think he forgot a few letters and characters and, you know, division signs and things of that nature. He really shortchanged a few groups, I think, as I understand it, at least. So that's the direction they want to take it, because they don't want to have the real in-depth conversation. They don't. They don't want to actually defend abortion. They don't want to actually, you know, that's why they always talk about the rape and incest thing as well. That's an easy place for them to go. But what about the more likely scenario? You know, third term, you're going to draw the line there. 20 week, you're going to draw the line. You okay with drawing the line there? Because the data and the polls show that Americans are not anywhere close to being in favor of things like third term abortion on demand. They're not. They have no interest in that. But they know the media is not going to ask them about it, so they're just going to focus on things like rape and incest, which we know are a microscopic part of the overall number of abortions based on a percentage. And, you know, reasonable people can have that debate. And those debates will be had if Roe gets overturned at the state level. But then they get into these hysterics, right? And Jen Psaki, White House press secretary, was asked about that comment by Joe Biden by our buddy Peter Ducey of Fox News. And here's how that went.
The president said today, what happens if you have states change the law saying that children who are LGBTQ can't be in classrooms with other children? What is he talking about?
Well, I think, Peter, we've seen extreme laws that target LGBTQ families, their kids across the country. And I think what he's saying...
Extreme laws like what? What are the extreme laws? That you can't compete in athletics? I thought you guys followed the science. What happened to following the science? Do they really follow the science on anything anymore? I mean, where's the science that you're supposedly following? You want to tell me that abortion, you know, no matter what point you are in the process, is simply women's rights, when we know that the heartbeat starts after a few weeks and babies feel pain at around the 15-week mark? You don't want to follow that science. You don't want to follow the science that, on average, a man is going to be faster and stronger than a woman, so the athletic issue is one worth pursuing to protect women's sports. You don't want to follow that science. So what science are we following here exactly, Jen?
The thing is, we don't know what they're capable of, given what they've already done to date.
Which state is trying to segregate LGBTQ children in the classroom?
Well, I think we've seen laws that are incredibly discriminatory. That's what the president's referring to. And the fact that he doesn't know what additional steps could be taken by extreme wings of the party that would rather divide rather than work on issues that the American people actually are focused on and actually impacting them.
Ah, yes, 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 yes. You mean like you guys are so good at focusing on inflation and the economy and gas prices? Like you guys, I mean, you're just knocking it out of the park on those issues. Just real home runs. Absolute home runs.
What are we talking about?
5767710. We'll get to you. Our caller of the day is a gem and a comedian coming up next.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.